That tonight is the Rosh Hashiva's yard site. So I sort of wanted this to, we've been doing it for a while, just to coincide with that. Should be taka, whatever, you know, inspiration, information, benefit comes out of this to anyone. Should taka be a schus lilo nishmosoi. About the Chanachenech and the Rav Chaim Dovid HaKohen. There's no question that the influence that the Reshiva left is an influence that permeates everything we do. You know, some people do lip service to that. Well, yeah, everything. But it's not necessarily true. If the Rebbe taught information, then you learn other information, then the Rebbe taught you information or other information. But if the Rebbe gave you the tools of learning and thinking and analyzing and taught you how to learn, then everything you learn is stuck through the prism of the Rebbe's guidance and hadrocha, inspiration, and therefore it all emanates from him. Okay. A couple of thoughts that I would just like to mention here. The whole tekes, the whole presentation, the whole evening of Yetzias Mitzrayim really surrounds certain basic mitzvahs. The Seder is really part of the inyan of the mitzvah of Higadot Olabincho, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And of course there's the mitzvah min ha-Torah of eating matzah. There's no longer the mitzvah min ha-Torah of Pesach u'Moror. Those are only midrabbonon today. But the Haggadah and the Sipur is certainly the focal point of the whole presentation of the evening, of which the Achilas Matzah is incorporated. The Achilas Matzah is the specific time, Ba'av Rozeh, when there's Matzah Omorum Unochem Lefonav. That's when the Torah said is the time for the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I think to focus a little bit on Haggadah and on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim can be very, very helpful, and any inspiration or information that we can gain can help us to come to the Seder with a greater sense of appreciation of the Chag and of the message, and a greater ability to communicate that message to our families, to our children, to whoever might be present at the Seder. So it's a very interesting Sefer. It's called the Sefer Menucha U'Kedusha. It's from a Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, B'Sof Yomov. In his later days, this Talmud was very close to him, was Mishamish. He wrote this Sefer called Menucha U'Kedusha. And he writes that it seems very strongly that we're not Yotze the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim just with pilpulim. You know, talk about Mitzrayim, talk about matzah, talk about halochas. You know, there's so many different aspects. There's such a rich body of knowledge that could be accessed far beyond what anyone could accomplish if they stayed up the whole night. And he says, but you're not yotze with that alone. And he says that there are certain other ingredients which are very critical in the Haggadah. And one is, he says, to understand, and it's a little bit, it's almost a little bit different angle, the inyan of tzadik v'raloi, the inyan of suffering. That the inyan of suffering is something that has to be explained, he seems to say, as part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And to that, it seems also, the idea that everything that happens, all of the difficulties and all of the challenges, all the toiv lanu, everything Hashem does is for the good. Kol ma'ad over achmon v'tavovit. And that's also part, he says, of this Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I think the reason is pretty obvious, because if the Leil Pesach is the Yesod HaEmuna, and as the Pesach says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yitzeiseichem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Liyos Lochem Lelokim, I took you out of Mitzrayim, that you should recognize, and I should be, and I should serve, and I should be appreciated as Elokim. So if that's to be accomplished, then an extensive appreciation of what that means and all that's involved is critical. Because if there's parts of it or pieces of it or pieces of me that can't relate to that, then that interferes with that recognition of Elikim, that recognition of Kabbalah or Malchus Shomayim, that recognition of the Avdei Hashem, the Avdus that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Shibud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is supposed to come as a Tachlif to the Shibud Mitzrayim. So he says that's very important to deal with as well. So I thought I would quote something which I've quoted many times, but I would add to it just a little perspective on the whole union of one aspect. And there's so many different perspectives and different aspects of the union of Pesach, and that is the famous comment that the, I don't know if it's famous, but that the Tosfos Rid makes in his Haggadah. It's a Haggadah from the Tosfos Rid, the Rishon, and on the piece in the Haggadah where it says Mitchila Oivdei Avodah Zorah Hoyu Avoseinu, which according to one Man D'Omar is where the Sipur really begins. So he says as follows. He asks the question. He says, we thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Reality is, if he wouldn't have put us in there, he wouldn't have had to take us out. So, like, what are we getting all excited about? Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we say Hallel, and we're thanking Hashem, he took us out of Mitzrayim. He says, you know, he put us in there, he made us suffer, then he finally take us out, okay, shkoya, but like, what's the, you know, the whole inyan, the chiv, is lahalil shabeach, leficha anach hayom, lehoidus, lahalil shabeach, lefoy, leruv, everything, give out, what's, so he says like this, he says, v'tchil oivdei avodah zorah hoy avoseinu, we stem from terach, oivdei avodah zorah, as such, he says, ben oivdei avodah zorah, one who has that, I guess, that pagam in his genes, is not shaykh to be able to be privileged with that gift of mitzvahs, of Shabbos, and the mitzvahs that he gave b'morah, and to come to Maimon Har Sinai, and to receive the Torah. It couldn't be. In din, to justify on such a person who's been lowered in his darga, in his chashivus, because of his, genetic inheritance of Avodah Zorah, such a person couldn't be Zeiche. So in Zchus, in Din HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't give us everything he wanted to give us. So he put us in Mitzrayim, and he made us suffer. V'chas Aleinu. He had Rachmanis on us. And through that Rachmanis, he was able to give us beyond what we ever could have earned or whatever could have deserved. And over the years developed this concept, I call it an entitlement, that al pidin, we didn't earn it, we didn't deserve it. But there are certain things in Torah where even though you don't deserve it, even though you didn't earn it, but there's some reason, some basis for which it's coming to you. If you hear Holocaust survivors often say that it's kumpmir, it's coming to me. Yechudas koshef adint, I earned it. They suffered 50, 60, 70 years ago, and yet they feel that something's coming to them today for it, and they're right. They do have special rights, even though legally, technically, what you suffered have to do with what you want from me right now. But there's something because of suffering. Suffering is I think the best word is an entitlement. You didn't earn it, but mitzad ma, you deserve it. And that's really what happened over there. And therefore, that explains the puts the suffering of Mitzrayim and in fact the suffering of life in a different perspective. And if this Menucha v'Kedusha, the Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhin, says that we're mechuyev to give some explanation to Tzadik v'Raloi, this is really an opportunity to put that in. In other words, again, you know, although the Seder is built on questions and answers, certain things are better not to set up as questions when the Manishtana, the answer is better than the question. On certain questions where the question may, where the answer may still beg some explanation in the mind of a human being, and it can, and certainly in the mind of younger people. So we don't have to make such a big question about it. But agav, you know, there's a pshat. The Tefis Rid says this pshat. But kumta is an unbelievable thing, that we have to look at the difficulties and the challenges and the suffering of life on the principle of kol mada overachmon latavovid, that there is a system in this world called entitlement. And that means that there are so many things that I may not deserve and I may not be zeichet to. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite love for Klal Yisrael and for each individual one of us, wants to give us. So it has to be in the system of mishpat, which is also a chesed, because we then have the opportunity to earn that which we get, has to fit the system. Well, the way it fits the system is through this entitlement program. And that is, sometimes life is difficult in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to justify in this system to be able to give us way beyond what we ever could have earned in the Shuras Hadin. And I think that's a very important principle to keep in mind. But I think when it comes to Pesach, there's something else too. And that, I think, is a very, very important concept to be able to explain. In fact, the Mishnah says that the Mishnah says Ram Gamliel hoy oimer kol shloi omar shloi shadvarim elu bapesach lo yotze dechagosoi. A person who didn't explain these three things on the Seder was not yotze the yedei choivas sipur yitzias Mitzrayim. Pesach matzah umor. Matzah, we understand. Matzah zu shonoch al mushum mo, al shum shalai hispik, but say to them shalav, say to the achmitz, ad shenigla aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had to get out fast. The speed of the geula is very simple, down to earth, shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu had his cheshbonos. We had to be in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim had, in order to be zeiche, we had to go through the difficulty. And Mitzrayim was a kura barzel that formed, took a mishpocha of shivim nefesh and made them into a umma, made them into a nation that the world had to reckon with, will have to reckon with, and has continued to reckon with to this very day. And that was, tzachantfikult. What does it mean? It
metamorphosis.
What?
Metamorphosis.
No, it happened, yeah, it came together. What's the word you used?
Metamorphosized.
I don't know. It came together in Mitzrayim. But yet, that had to happen. But yet, when the moment, when according to all of the cheshbonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the time for the geula arrived, there wasn't a minute, a moment to be wasted. At that time, it was b'chipozoin. We had to get out of there as quickly as possible. He wouldn't allow us to sink to another level of depravity, to suffer another mental anguish. The shibud was over, but the working was over, but the shibud wasn't over. And that was the geula. That was the Hatzola, the Sipurnu says. But it had to happen immediately, and the matzah reminds us of that. Shall he speak, but say,
why did
everybody
start baking a little earlier?
What?
Why did they start baking a little earlier?
I guess they were busy with the carbon dust. I don't know. Anyway, Chvestish.
Perfect timing, I guess, so let them switch.
I must tell you, I can tell you what I told Chad many years ago. Okay? You set me up for that. Many years ago, to us Seder in Los Angeles, in North Hollywood, came a family from across the street. They weren't religious people. They had two children, Trisha and Chad. I still remember. Chad was maybe 8, 9 years old, and Trisha maybe 11. I don't know, something like that. And the parents, they were going. They were students at the local day school, but the family wasn't religious, and the kids didn't know too much. And we're sitting at the table, and for some reason, I don't know why, I asked the question, why did we have to go out of Mitzrayim at such a speed? Why did we have to go out of Mitzrayim fast? So Chad knew the answer. He said, because we have to eat matzah on Pesach. And his father, who didn't know anything except what it said on the Menishewitz matzah box that we went out of Mitzrayim, we eat matzah because we went out quickly. So he was a little bit embarrassed. He looked like, what a waste of tuition money all these years. My kid doesn't even know the simplest thing. So, of course, I wanted to save Chad, save the day, and maybe they shouldn't pull their kids out of the day school. So I said, you know, there was a great rabbi who lived about 100 and maybe 100 and some years ago, and then I don't know what it was exactly. And his name was Reb Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi. And he has a whole maimer on Pesach, and he writes exactly that. He writes that the Torah is the blueprint of creation, and everything unfolded in the world according to the plan, according to the script of the Torah. And since there's a mitzvah of eating matzah b'chipozoin, which that mitzvah was koydem lebriyas ha'olam, that's one of them. The Torah was eternal like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and therefore the Torah had a mitzvah of eating matzah zeichel l'chipozoin. So the chipozoin had to happen in history. They had to go out quickly because they had to eat matzah on Pesach. So Chad was absolutely right. So maybe that would answer your question too. You know, that's where it had to happen. Anyway, but that we can understand. Moreover, we can understand, you know, let's make it live. Let's make it real. Let's make it serious. Let's try to make it graphic. Let's try to experience a little bit, because the trick of the Seder and the trick bichlal of the Mesorah that has survived thousands of years is the fact that it isn't just Sipurim. It isn't just stories. It isn't just information that's passed on, but it's a lifestyle. It's living the information. It's reenacting the information. It's reliving the information. Every year for thousands of years, wherever you find Jews all over the world, the power of that testimony that has assured the survival of Pesach and mitzvahs and Torah and Klal Yisrael to this very day. So more we understand that's part of the act. So we eat moro to remind us of this. That Pesach. Vosidos de korban Pesach. And what is this Pesach? And why is this called Pesach? And what is the significance of this Pesach? Okay, Asher Pesach. Very nice. He passed over the houses of the Jews, and therefore he saved, took us out of Mitzrayim. There were other makas. Why only this maka? Oh, this was the end. This was the culmination. But the passing over, what's Tutsach over here? So I wanted to suggest a novel approach. I know novel is not necessarily a novel. The word, what? One second. I just want to play the word novel. Novel usually refers to fiction. Okay, so I want to suggest a novel approach. I hope it's not too fictitious. Okay, but I admit to the fact that it's really just putting together a number of things. The issue is what exactly this emphasis of everything we call it the Chag HaPesach. Yeah, Chag HaPesach. And it's like, it's called Pesach. Everybody knows it's Pesach. It's either Passover or Pesach, but that's, nobody calls it. What's that? That's something else, but nobody else does. Okay, good. That may be true, but Lamaisa, what's the Pesach? So the truth of the matter is that there's something very significant about that. And Baal HaGadol tells us really here, so it refers to the Korban Pesach. So there was a Korban that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, which was called Pesach. That also, why was it called Pesach? What's that? Al Shum Mo. Al Shum Sheposach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Boti Avaseinu B'Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Posach passed over the houses of the Jews in Mitzrayim. V'Shenemar, as the Posach says, V'Amartem Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem. This is the Zevach, this is the Korban called Pesach. reminding us or representing or remembering Asher Posach Halboti B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim B'nok B'Mitzrayim V'Sabotenu Hitzil, that he passed over the Boti B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim when he took care of the Mitzrim in the Makas B'Choyrois V'Sabotenu Hitzil, in our houses he saved by Yikodom V'Yishtachavu. Okay, fine. So what is that super significance? What critical role does that play? What is this special emphasis on Pesach? So I'd like to suggest something which I think is maybe a perspective on what happened in Mitzrayim, and maybe it fits in with this Tosfos Rid that we mentioned before. The Tosfos Rid told us that the suffering of Mitzrayim was critical for us to be zoiche to the mitzvahs and to Maimon Har Sinai, because in Din, since we emanated from Avodah Zorah, we could not be zeiche bischus. We had to have this special rachmonis, the chas aleinu, because of the suffering, the entitlement of suffering. Okay, the iskumpmir, because of my suffering. Fine. Now, lemaisa, that's not where the Avodah Zorah ended, because we know Chazal tell us that Avodah Zorah Klal Yisrael engaged, or at least were engaging in Avodah Zorah in Mitzrayim. They had fallen very far. They had to suffer, and they suffered. But in the process of suffering, they were identifying with their mishabdim, with their masters, and falling to the decadence of the Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim. It seems from the Novi Yecheskel that they weren't on the depths of Avodah Zorah, but the process was beginning. They were getting engaged far more than would have been appropriate for them. So, okay. So they had this Avodah Zorah. So it's not just the Avodah Zorah of Terach, but being in Mitzrayim, they really, you know, caught the Avodah Zorah from Mitzrayim. Ad kedei kach, that the Parshas HaChodesh, or I'm not sure it's exactly in Parshas HaChodesh, but right over there, the Torah tells us when it comes the time to prepare for the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Torah says, Mishchu ukulachem tzoin. When it says to take the tzoin for the Korban Pesach the 4 days before and to check it and this, so it says, Mishchu in Chazal Darshan, Mishchu, draw out your hands from Avodah Zorah, Mishchu yedeichem me'Avodah Zorah, ukulachem tzoin. Take out your hands from Avodah Zorah and take the tzoin and tie it up and let the Mitzrim see that we are taking the Elil, the god of Mitzrayim, which the tzoin was. They worshipped tzoin. That's why the Roya tzoin, they had to go to Goshen. The Roya tzoin, the god of Mitzrayim, we are taking, and we are now going to slaughter it, and we are going to perform with it this special mitzvah. The brazenness of it, in showing it, in taking it, was a message of gvura and hoza, really, to Mitzrayim. It's also a very strong message to them. Mishchu yedeichem Avodah Zorah. Hey, we're getting out of this Avodah Zorah. We're taking Avodah Zorah, and we're taking the Avodah Zorah that we too may have had a certain derech eretz for, whatever the level of our involvement in Avodah Zorah was, and we're leaving that, and we're now going to transpose this to the service of Hashem. Okay. So this is going to be the korban that we're bringing. Now, what else are we doing? What are we doing? We're ready to go out of Mitzrayim, but it seems we still needed a schus. The suffering may have been critical to be able to be zeicher to Maimon Har Sinai and to the mitzvahs, as the Tosfos Rid said, but it seems that they needed something else too. They needed a kapora for their active Avodah Zorah that they participated in Mitzrayim. So what did they do? Took the tzoin, which in itself is a statement of, you know, we're no longer serving this as a Avodah Zorah. We're checking it out now for 4 days to see that it has no blemishes, because we're going to sacrifice this to our God. Then they bring the Korban Pesach, they shech the Pesach, and what do? They take the Dam HaPesach and they put it on the Mashkov and on the Mezuzos. They proclaim to the world, to the Mitzrim, not only are we no longer connected or reverent or observers or subservient to your Avodah Zorah, we've defied it, we've defiled itself as Avodah Zorah, and we've transposed this into a sacrifice into a korban for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're proclaiming this to the world. Now, Chazal say, B'domai Chayi, that the pshat is that they were zeiche to be to the geula because of the korban, the schus, the shnei domim, dama mila, they did bris mila that night, and dama pesach. They pronounced, they proclaimed, they defied the avodah zarah of Mitzrayim and the Mitzrim and the Mishabdim who were their bosses, their, how do you call it, their what's the word? Their oppressors, their owners, their slave drivers, and they defiled them and defiled their God, and we are now bringing this a korban. And the dam ha-pesach, the dam of this korban, is the schus that they now have brought a kapora for their engagement in avodah zarah in Mitzrayim. Mishchu yedeichem avodah zarah. Now, b'dam it says b'domai chayi, that the schus of the geula, one of those, the dam bris milah and the dam ha-korban pesach. So now, this korban was called Pesach because what happened that night was that there was a magefa. And there was a magefa, and the Malach HaMoves was given Rishus Lahashchis. In fact, if you look at the other makas, it doesn't say the Malach HaMoves was involved, because the other makas were a Shinu HaTeva. That the Rabbeinu Shalom did himself. Dom, Tzvardei, Akinim, Orev, all these things. There was a Shinyat, there's a Teva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should turn to blood. It should be frogs. It should be Kinim. It should be Borod. It should be Orev, whatever. All these things. Choshech. This is, but then came Makas Bechiris. Came Paroi was so against and so negative and so refused every effort to bring him about. In fact, the Sipurnu says that Kodesh Baruch Hu was makshes liboy because he didn't want him to give in bal korchoy. He was still trying that Paroi should give in bishlemus halev to be able to be zeiche to do tshuva. That's what was going on over there. And Klal Yisrael had delayed the geula so that this Paroi should be able to do tshuva. That's what the Sipurnu says. But finally it came, the end. Paro's not giving in. Now we got to hit him hard where it hurts. And he's going to come out of the middle of the night in his pajamas. And he's going to say, get out of here. I'm afraid for my life. You're getting older, Bechoyrois. Okay. Now, Chazal say that when the Malach HaMoves, when the Mashchis has Rishus LaHashchis, he's indiscriminate. The Malach HaMoves has indiscriminate right LaHashchis. I'm sure that that doesn't mean indiscriminate. But it means that he has certain koiches, I guess, to be me'orer dinim, even on those that were not given his, put that wasn't his shlichus. But since he's given reshus lahashchis, he has a certain power that he could invoke an interim din on others and get them as well. Klal Yisrael needed a special schus to withstand this. And it was the dam of the korban. And therefore, that dam of the korban was what caused the posach al botei b'nei Yisrael. When the klal Yisrael negated the avodah zarah, they showed the mitzvah that they're not following this avodah zarah. They shechted it as a korban to Hashem, and they proclaimed that with the dam on the mashkef and on the mezuzos. So that Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Malach HaMashchis, the Mashchis was not able, even though he had certain koiches hakitrug, wasn't able to be mekatrig. And what happened was that bischus, the dam, that's what actually brought about the geula. If not for the dam korban pesach and the dam milo, it seems that they would have died in Mitzrayim. That means the Malach HaMoves would have had the ability to destroy us. So in reality, it was this. Let me just finish the paragraph. In reality, it was this schus of the korban pesach that was the Makkah Bepatit was the ultimate cause that they were able to be redeemed, and the dam was the proclamation of the ultimate negation of the avodah zarah, which provided that schus that the Malach HaMoves could not destroy them, and Asher, and was called therefore Korban Pesach because he was posach al botei Mitzrayim because of the schus they had. And with all their suffering, But since as a result of their suffering, they fell to this decadence of Avodah Zarah, and maybe the Avodah Zarah was also part of the suffering, because physical suffering sometimes is not the ultimate suffering. They suffered spiritually as well. But now finally, when they come to the point where they've negated the spiritual suffering, they've negated the spiritual decadence that they achieved, they had in that dam, they had the schus to be redeemed. And therefore the Malach HaMavis was Posach al Bote B'nei Yisroel, and Klal Yisroel was saved. So the Korban Pesach really represents the final step in the earning and the deserving of the Geula. The Geula comes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that we deserve it. And at that moment, they became worthy because of the extreme negation of the Avodah Zarah. And I think that's really what the Inyan, and that's why it became such a prominent thing of Pesach, Chagah, Pesach, Pesach, because that's really what happened. Ultimately, we were redeemed b'domayich v'oymaloch, b'domayich chayi, with the Dama Pesach, the Dama Milo, but the Dama Pesach, which was publicly proclaimed, which allowed us to be finally taken out. What's that? So that's the big discussion, what that means, Aniveloi Malach. So B'lamai said there was a Malach HaMashchis. So it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interfered with the, it says it. It says, Lo Yitna Mashchis Lo El Botechem. So it sounds like that, what?
It's the Darshan V. Casey that Hashem did.
Yeah, so that seems that so is too. So the way I would understand it is that the Malach HaMavis was able to get them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened on their behalf because of the dam. And the dam, if it wasn't on the outside, so the korban, that it says for sure, it says that the korban, the tzoyin was outside so they could all see. They saw that they were preparing korban Pesach. What? No, it says that the Mitzrim saw. I think so. It says the Mitzrim saw. What? The Medrash says the Mitzrim saw. The Mitzrim saw. So whatever it was for the Mitzrim and for themselves. And that they proclaimed this, they took the Avodah Zarah that they themselves had some shaykhs to, and they negated it, and that's why it's called. Okay, so it's,
they weren't worthy because afterwards Hashem says, Lihem. Hashem took the Bechor because they weren't worthy. It's not finished that they weren't worthy. Isn't that why Hashem took the Bechoros? He says, Lihem, the idea that the Bechor became his. And then
because they weren't worthy.
Because they weren't worthy.
That's right.
That's clear.
They weren't worthy. Yeah, that's clear. That weren't. Anyway, just that thought. Or let's leave that for now. So, what? No. So I see because the Spices and the Tosfos Rid says because they had to suffer in order to get Maimon Har Sinai. But it seems that wasn't the whole story. It seems that since through this suffering they were nichshel Avodah Zarah, they also needed that kapora on the Avodah Zarah in order to be zeicher to get out. So in other words, the ultimate Kabbalah had to come with suffering because they couldn't earn it. But Lemaisa, there was a problem that came from the suffering.
Pesach.
What?
Pesach was one small part of it. It should be called Yomtif of suffering.
Wait a second. That's the Yomtif of Shavuos. But the Yomtif of Pesach was they went out. They went out. Lemaisa, they went out. Again, why they were zeichet to the mitzvahs? They were zeichet to the mitzvahs. That happened later. They were zeichet to the mitzvahs because of the suffering. Now they can come to Har Sinai. But the ma'isa, they went out. It says because of the schus adam.
Pesach was really just an after. It happened to them. They were suffering. They got tied more back to Avodah Zarah.
Allowed them to.
So
get
they
out.
Needed. They needed this karma pesach
to get out. How to get out?
Yeah, but before that, one thing you. The question was, why you shouldn't have put us in? What's the big deal?
So good. So that's it. We thank him for getting us. No. The suffering does not affect us for our appreciation. Mm-hmm. To the contrary. The suffering is what allows us to get the ultimate in our history, which is the Maimon Har Sinai. However, to get there was another problem. The suffering caused this decadence of Avodah Zarah, and to that there was the Korban Pesach, which allowed us to leave Mitzrayim to be able to continue to follow up on that schus, which we derived because of the suffering.
That was really only for the Bechor.
What?
It was really only the Bechor. The rest of the people weren't there.
Good, so, but you mean, so,
yeah, but everybody did the Pesach. I mean,
But the whole
Astama Shaila. So what's it was only for the Bukhairim? I guess we don't appreciate what a Bukhairis. Bukhairis is a Choshev thing. Bukhairis were the head of the family. The Bukhairis were the, I don't know, that's an interesting question. I don't know what to do with that.
No, that would have been a whole billboard. If every Bukhair.
What?
So, but then how is he differentiated
by
the mitzvah?
The what?
By the
mitzvah, yeah. No, but he says, but what about the rest?
There would have been a terrible billboard.
Once he's killing,
what?
Certain guidelines he had.
Oh, that's right. Maybe he wouldn't, he's right. Maybe like,
that
why he wouldn't differentiate even non-Bukhair.
But he did.
Why did he buy the guy?
By non-Jews he did.
But no, Rebbe Lechor, you could say that if Rebbe Lechor,
I don't know, that's a good question.
Rebbe Lechor, you could say that if the Malachim Oz would also kill the Bnei Yisrael's Bechor, that would have created a terrible bilbul in terms of a gula at that point. Like, I mean, there would have been a lot of uproar in terms of yes, no, is it really? I mean, just imagine, you know, situationally, imagine like not only all the Mitzrayim's Bechoras, but also us right after Choshech. I mean, who would have been left in terms of who would have gone out? Who would have tried to even gone out? That would have been a terrible.
Therefore,
that would have been it would have been a terrible knee on the Gilgal. Who says we would have even gone out at that point? We wouldn't have gone out. We would have been so devastated. Okay.
I don't know. Okay, let's see what
answers this question.
The Makkah was clearly told to Paro that he was going to in case he called Bechor from his train. So it had nothing to do with the Jewish people. But now that we have the Malachim Oz was there, then with regard to the Egyptians, it had to just be the Bechor. But with regard to everybody else,
could have been. Yeah, okay, that could be. Okay,
how
that was what?
Rid answer his question.
He says because he says that the what we're thanking Hashem for taking us out because the putting us in Gufa was the greatest entitlement. To the ultimate purpose of Klal Yisrael.
So he put us in and he took us out. What do we have to thank him for?
Because the reason not to thank, he took us out. The reason not to thank him is because he put us in. But if the put us in is, the reason is because put us in is bad. So why should we thank him for taking us out? You did bad, now you took away the bad. But if the put us in was good, so then they're taking us out and bringing us to the next
point. It was good with the cheshbon. It was good to the point so could take us out.
But
so
the whole kasha.
So what do you have to think of?
The whole kasha was that to put us in is bad, and then you take. It's like it's like you hit me. You hit me, and then, oh, you stopped hitting me. Oh, shkoyach. What do you mean I hit you?
Let's say I said okay, fine. But in order for you to get this prize, I need to hit you two times. I have to stop you. I have to thank you for stopping me after two times.
Because
you hit me for the two times.
The stopping was not just stopping. He took us out Tavdun Esadim Bahor Azeh. Took us out of Mitzrayim to bring us to Maimon Har Sinai. It was all part of that process.
So that's the whole thing is to bring us out to give us the Torah.
Well, that's what he says.
So then what does that have to do? What's the kasha in the start?
I'm sure the kasha started.
He took us out. What do you mean? The taking us out was part of a process.
But you made it.
Good,
but what about the suffering? Taking us out was, but not the suffering.
So the suffering wasn't just random suffering, like suffering one at a time.
1 second.
It was like boot camp.
He suffered. I don't know why he had to suffer.
The suffering disqualified. Excuse me. The suffering, your meanness, your cruelty in the suffering disqualifies our being able to.
Of course, I have to thank you for giving it to Torah, but you were a jerk to me beforehand, so maybe I shouldn't thank you.
Yeah, no.
No, his point was that there's no point that you're the one who put me in, so why do I have to thank you for taking me
out?
That's
right.
Because that's not part of the act. You put me in, so you take me out. It's like, of course you have to take me. I don't have to thank you for that. You put me in.
You didn't deserve to go out. You didn't deserve to go out. You acted inappropriately. You were there, but he took us out. But the problem is, but listen, it's all your fault. If it's all your fault, so whatever you did is very nice. But you started the whole thing. And Terry says, no, I had to do it. What you fell. But I had to do it because that's what you needed to get there. I don't know. I think that's pretty straightforward. I think. Okay. Anyway, let's just a couple more things just to. To talk about, to mention. I think that there's an indication, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, where it seems that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just to tell our children. the mitzvah. It's the Rambam's Loshen. He says that even if it's hula atzmi, if it doesn't have any children, it's a mitzvah of chizuk ha'emuna. But the chizuk ha'emuna comes the best when we tell something to others, and especially when we tell something to our children. So the truth of the matter is that the kavona in explaining that which happened in Mitzrayim is a dual kavona. It's the kavona to communicate to our children, but it's also the kavona to strengthen our own emuna. And to the degree that we can strengthen our own emuna, our message to our children is much more potent. And to the degree that we can vividly describe and share and convey that message to our children, then we ourselves come out with an additional chizuk, which is really, you know, what it's really all about. So I think that a little bit just to focus on the avodah of what takes place can be very, 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 very helpful. You know, it's really very bizarre that alpi halacha, alpi Torah, alpi das Torah, that we understand the survival of Klal Yisrael and the survival of the Torah, because the Torah told us that Klal Yisrael will survive. Am gam zois b'yosim eretz yevem l'astim l'galtim l'chaloisom l'ofi risi itom. And the Torah will be loisi shochach mi pizaroi. But lemaisa, how in fact, alpi teva, alpi sociology, this has taken place, it's really a very bizarre thing. Not only that, what's even more bizarre is that Jews who avowedly say they don't believe in any Judaism, this, it's outmoded, it's outdated, it's an artifact of the past, it belongs in the museums, it's not relevant today. Many, if not most, I don't know the statistics today, in my day it was certainly most, sit down to a Seder. And they got the matzah, and they got the Haggadah, and they got the chleis moror, they got something, and they're telling some stories, and how did it have this power to survive throughout the Deiros? I remember as a kid, a friend of a friend who used to take ham sandwiches on matzah to school on Pesach, because he bred. I remember we're taking school the kids once to what?
You had school on Pesach?
What?
You had school on
public
Pesach?
School. Oh. Yeah. I remember taking the kids once to Mystic Seaport, I think it was. And we overhear two an Israeli woman telling her children, Pesach hayom, tarid talechem. You know, they're eating the treif or whatever it is over there, but you can't eat the bread. It's like, you know, it's in Israel, they're selling all the bread to this Arab, I don't know what, all the bread in Israel is being sold now to one Arab who says he may not sell it back us or something like that. But anyway, like, what's going on? How does it survive like that? And I think that there's no question that there were two critical ingredients in the survival. One is the Choymer Ho'inyan. The Choymer Ho'inyan. The Bal Yeroi Bal Yemotze. The chiyuv chorus for eating chometz, the picture that people have of their great grandmothers climbing on the ceiling and cleaning the chometz which never even got there, is something that this is serious stuff. This is really chomer. This is more treif. There's no bal yeroi, bal yemotze. The chorus. This is like, you know, and it the chomer ha'inyan is what assured that everybody take it seriously. And the other thing, I think, was the fact that it wasn't passed on as a story. And it's very important to appreciate the interfacing between the storyline and the activities. Because when there are activities, that assures a greater level of focus. We just read the same thing this Shabbos with the mitzvah of Giranoshe, where the Chinuch says that by throughout the generations, by being remembering the battle of Yaakov with the Sarah of Esau, and that he beat the Saravesov, that the Saravesov wasn't able to overwhelm him, and that's a remez that we will remain firm, and despite Esav's attacks on us throughout the generations, we will survive, and eventually the Geula will come, and it's the push. The Torah says that Klal Yisrael will never cease to exist. That's it, finished. It's a posuk. But the posuk is not enough, because the posuk is intellectual. But emotionally, I need actions to penetrate the heart, to penetrate the subconscious, to penetrate the total human being. It's not enough, but every... Gid Anosha, I can't eat. I gotta remove the gid. I can't eat the gid. Why? Oh, Yaakov Avinu, Hashem helped Yaakov Avinu to beat the Sar Shel Esav. Oh, so now we'll be able to do it. It doesn't say just because it happened there, it doesn't mean it'll happen to us. Terence says there's a Havtocha. But the actions, or even the Zehirus, even just the love, the Choymer, the remembering it, that I cannot touch the gid, I must remove the gid, I must be careful that the gid is removed. That those actions, when there are actions involved which remind us of events, that makes it permanent, that makes it real, that brings it alive. Ad kedei kach, that the Baal HaGadol says, the whole dor v'dor chayev odom liras esatzma kilu hu yotza mimitzrayim. Liras esatzma kilu hu yotza mimitzrayim. So that it can have the effect that it's as if it's something personal. It's as if it happened to me myself. And that's really very, very important. And I think that the Haggadah is structured in such a way, before we even come to the Haggadah, there's the Karpas and the Yachatz, you know, the reminding of the Ho'olach Mo'anyo, the meager sustenance that they had in Mitzrayim. So again, a how do you call it, a visual aid, a prop which helps to focus on it. The Karpas, which is Pochus Mikizayis, just a little meager piece of vegetable and dipped in tears, the salt water representing the tears, and again reminding us of not to be done by Haseba, reminding us of the seriousness of the Shibud of what happened. And we start, you know, with the Kiddush and the first Kois. The Kois is, I think, is very, I mentioned this many times, but I think it's very powerful. And the Dalet Kois is connected to Dalet L'Shena Shel Geula. And I don't believe that it's a play on numbers, that it's a mystical play on numbers, because there's Dalet L'Shena Shel Geula, Dalet Koisis, there's Dalet Imohis, there's Dalet, what else, Dalet? I don't
Four
know.
Sons.
What? Who?
Four sons.
Okay, well, that's all part of this. No. To me, it's very poshut. The Sipurnu says that the Dalet L'Shena of Geula, V'Yitzeisi, V'Yitzalti, V'Alti, V'Lokachti, were stages of the Geula. V'Yitzeisi was the Hafsokas HaShibud, which took place on Rosh Hashanah. I took you out. In other words, I took you out from the Shibud. You're no longer working. You're free from work. You're still slaves. You're still in Mitzrayim. You can't leave. You're not free to leave. You still have these oppressors looking down your back, but they can't get you to work anymore. It had to stop. V'Hitzalti, that's the Hatzolah, and you actually left Mitzrayim. V'Go'alti, Ge'ula, redemption, that's when you went through the Yamsuf and you witnessed your oppressors drowning right in the Yamsuf. V'Lokachti, took you to Maimon Har Sinai. If we bunch it all together and say, oh, Avodah Yinofar Mitzrayim, went out of Mitzrayim, but tonight went out of Mitzrayim, and that was very nice. It's words. But if we take it, each one separately, and we take a Kosh Shel Brocha, which is expressing appreciation to Hashem, V'Hitzeisi, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we're thankful to you for one aspect of this Geula, Tavsokas HaShibud. We're thankful to you for the second aspect of this Geula, the leaving the Mitzrayim. We're thankful to you for the third aspect of the Geula, the going through the Yam Suf and watching the enemy drown. We're thankful for you for the fourth aspect of the Geula, V'lokachti Eschem to Maimon Har Sinai. And again, by taking a Kosh Shel Brocha, and that's very interesting because I had already the wine, another Kosh, another, you make Kiddush on one Kosh, what's this, four Koshes? The Terence is because we want to appreciate and dissect the message into its component parts to be able to be able to appreciate it. Just the little the discussion that the Baal HaGadol gives, and it's very interesting. The Baal HaGadol does talk about the Shibud, and then about the Geula. And of course, you need the Shibud in order to appreciate the Geula. Because if we didn't have the Shibud, then what was the Geula? What did you save us from? What's so special? We don't feel this. Yes, you took us to Har Sinai, but we don't feel this special Shibud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he transposed the Shibud from the Shibud Mitzrayim to a Shibud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which, by the way, was a different type of a Shibud, because the Shibud in Mitzrayim was Bal Korchuch. The Shibud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Nase Benishma, was a benevolent Shibud, was a voluntary Shibud, and that makes all the difference. And that, of course, is much more uplifting and much more beneficial and much more motivating to do what we have to do because we voluntarily, we assume that. And I think that that's the pshat, and it's something that we can remember every day when we say, Poshet the Posek, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We proclaim to the world, Shema Yisrael, Hashem is the Adon HaKol. He's the Adon HaKol. Adon HaKol means that he is the ultimate master of everything, and the Mishnah Berurah brings, you're supposed to have the Kavanah, Hoye Hoye Veveyeh, which means he's the Adon HaKol, he always was, he is, and he always will be. That has nothing to do specifically with us. Now, of course, if he's the Adon HaKol, then he's also our master. But Elokeinu describes what relationship we have with him. Elokeinu, the Mefarshim say, explains, Elokim Shelonu. There's a personal relationship. He's Ahuv Nafshenu. He's the one who does Hashkocha Protis for us. He's the one who took us out of Mitzrayim Al Manas to bring us to Har Sinai to be mative us with the ultimate Hatova. So the Adon HaKol, that ultimate master, who was the ultimate master of everything, and it does, we do not focus on the special relationship, is Elokeinu. We have this special loving connection relationship with him. And again, Hashem, that Adon HaKol, he's Echod, it's one and the same. The Adon HaKol, who's the master of the whole world, we have that private, personal relationship with him. And when we take the Adnus and we combine it with this private, personal, loving relationship, I must add that maybe that has to do with why we say Shir HaShirim on Pesach too, because that's the expression of that love, then that's a whole different relationship. And that's really the Shibud that emanated from Mitzrayim. We started as Avdei Paroi. We came out, he freed us. Now he took us to Har Sinai, and we willfully accepted upon ourselves, Naaseh V'Nishma, that we now accept the Shibud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bimkoim the Shibud of Mitzrayim, but we accept it with the greatest pleasure, with the greatest appreciation of his love. And of course, that says so much in terms of the positive effects, and especially if Shibud is supposed to connect us with Hashem, and we identify with him, and we want to emulate him, or we want to purify ourselves to be like him, as pointed out many times, then certainly the positive connection that we wanted this, that we chose this, that we desire this, we developed a trust in him in Mitzrayim, ad kidei kach, that we're willing to say Naaseh V'Nishma, then that Shibud is a whole different type of, it's a Shibud of Ava, it's an act of love, and it has a whole different level of motivation and ramification for us. A few more points, and that is number one. I think it's poshut that it's mentioned in many places that to whatever extent a person can be. I meant to say one thing. The backdrop of the Shibud is important. Came from that Shibud, and we entered voluntarily into a Shibud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I mentioned recently the Medrash says, Medrash says, Moshe LaMelech, that he goes far away to find a wife. And he brings her back, and the trip back is very treacherous. Galim, they go all over all kinds of waves. I don't know, maybe it was a boat ride, And it was a very, very difficult ride back. And he says to her, I want you to remember the day of the wedding, but not the difficulties of getting to the chuppah. And Chazal say the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, remember this day, Asher, kibiyod Mitzrayim. Remember this day, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Not to remember all of the difficulties. Now, it's a little bit strange. The Baal HaGadol tells us the difficulties. We know the difficulties, and that's part of the whole story. But Mitzad Sheni, I assume what it means is that we shouldn't overemphasize the difficulties. Because if we want to have full appreciation of the hatova that took place, then we have to be able to the pain and the suffering that we went through, mitzad echod, could enhance the appreciation of it, but mitzad sheni can detract from it. It takes out the cheshek. Yeah, oh, it's so, I'm so happy I'm here, but like you know, never Holocaust survivors have told me that. They you know, they're right now on top of the world, and they made millions of dollars, and they're successful, and they have beautiful families. And I'll never forget one, seeing in front of my eyes right now, he says, there isn't a night that I don't wake up with nightmares. 40 years later, there isn't a night I don't wake up with nightmares, despite I got millions of dollars, and I got a beautiful family, and I rebuilt my life. And so we have to, you know, go a little bit easy on that. And it's critical to appreciate that shechas aleinu, and that in that schus we were able to come to Har Sinai. And it's critical to appreciate that there was a shibud, so that now we could be meshabed ourselves to Hashem voluntarily. But we shouldn't over. We have to be careful that it's very hard, even though it has the power to enhance the appreciation for the geula. It also has the power to detract and depress, and therefore it has to be a special balance. And if a person, in Bechlal, in general, if a person is telling over Nisim that happened, I remember the first Seder that I had in my father-in-law's house, we forgot that there was a Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we forgot about the Haggadah, and he was just telling his story how in 1940 he managed to get out of Europe, you know, to get to Eretz Yisrael with Nisim Gluyim. And the critical thing was not to emphasize the extent of the pain, just to emphasize. The pain is a backdrop, but too much emphasis on the pain can be too distracting from the ultimate goal. Just one more thing, and then it's time to go. There's a very interesting shinui hanusach between the two of the things that we say here. We say first over here, lefich anachlo chayom lohidus lal shabech lefoy lerum lahadir lefori chlalu kleos ulkalis lemisha osa lavisein of alonu es kolanisim elo. We have to give these ultimate praises to the one who did Nisim for our fathers and for us. Yet when we make the brocha that we make is Asher Go'olonu, the Go'al Es Aviseinu. He redeemed us and our fathers. So when we're giving the Halel al Nisim, we say Lamisha also Aviseinu V'Olonu. And when we're saying the brocha Asher Go'olonu, we say Go'olonu, the Go'al Es Aviseinu. It's really Aviseinu, and also us. We're included in that. But what's the shinui in the thing here? So I think it's very poshut, but it provides another opening for realistic focus. When it comes to the Nisim that took place, the Nisim will Aviseinu v'lonu. It happened to them, and we are also the beneficiaries of it. We also appreciate it. Nisim continued to happen to us. Based on that, we recognize all the Nisim that happened in the future. Ramban says that it's through the Nisim Gluyim that we came to recognize all the Nisim throughout the existence of Klal Yisrael. But it's Laviseinu V'lonu. These Nisim that we're thanking for were be'ika to them, and we're the auxiliary. However, when it happens to the Geula, Asher Go'olonu, the Geula was to us. Geula means if a person is an Eved, then he is owned fully by his master, and his children and his grandchildren and all the seed that will emanate from him, the Deire Deiris, is owned by the master. So if there was a Geula, then the Geula was really Lonu. The Geula was as much to us as Lav Eseinu. The Nisim was to them, and we're the auxiliary. The Geula was to us as much as to them, and therefore we say our share of God. And if we could be mechaven to that, it takes on a whole different perspective, because it's very hard to chayev odem liris esatzmo keilu. Keilu, keilu, keilu is a very, you have to act, you have to pretend. Okay, there's a whole tekes here which helps us to feel it and to experience it as if it was happening to us. And the matzah to remember, the chipozin, and the korban pesach to remember, asher posach, and the mor and everything. It's very nice. Over the maisa, it's still keilu. But the geula really happened to us. That we too were nigal, because in the geula of Avo Yisenu lies the geula to us, and therefore we say that first. If we could feel that, if we could feel the power of that event, that everything we have today was to us taken care of then, that they were taken out of Mitzrayim was in reality directly, we too were redeemed. It puts this whole thing in a whole new perspective. And b'meila, the more that we can feel it as a reality, the more we share that reality with our children, the more we share that reality with our children, the more deeper we feel it, the more deeper we feel it, we convey the message better to them, and it goes, it's chizer cholila, and we come out with a tremendous chizuk. And lemaisa, at the posuk of Zechores Hayom Hazeh She'etzosim Mitzrayim, it seems from the Rambam that posuk is the yesod of Yitzias Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the yesod of all the Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. That chizuk that we get from the night of the Seder and creating a sense of reality as to what took place, that's the chizuk that allows us to say every day, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Shehotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Ezras Aviseinu, and the whole thing there that makes that real, because of the fact that once a year, in reality, we relived it, we experienced it, and we even focused on the fact that the Geula actually happened to us. Thank you.